But now they were flying through the mesosphere, a medium implacably alien and hostile. Ionization started to accumulate around their blunt circular sensor heads as the gas thickened, turning to long tongues of violet and yellow flame which licked back along the body. Sensors burnt away in seconds, exposing the guidance electronics to the radiant incoming molecules. Blinded, crippled, subject to intolerable heat and friction pressures, the kinetic drones detonated in garish starburst splendor 20 kilometers above the Lady Macbeth. The Arikara's tactical situation display showed their vectors wink out almost simultaneously. "Very smart," Meredith said, grudgingly. It took a hell of a nerve to pilot a starship like that. Nerve and egomaniacal self-confidence. I doubt I would have had that much gumption. "Stand by, evasive maneuvering," Commander Kreber said. And Meredith had no more time to reflect on the singular antics of Joshua Calvert. Punishing gravity returned abruptly to the flagship's bridge. A third salvo of combat wasps leapt out of their launch tubes. Lady Macbeth soared out of the mesosphere, throwing off her dangerous cloak of glowing molecules. Behind her, Wyman's ice fields glimmered under eerie showers of ethereal light. Combat sensor clusters rose out of their hull recesses on short stalks, their golden-lensed optical scanners searching round. "We're in the clear. Thank you, sweet Jesus." Joshua reduced the thrust from the fusion drives until it was a merely uncomfortable 3 Gs. Their trajectory was taking them straight away from the planet at a high inclination. There were no combat wasps within 4,000 kilometers. "I knew the old girl could do it." "Told you so," he sang at the top of his voice. "Awesome," Ashley said, and meant it. On the couch next to Joshua, Melvin shook his head in dazed admiration despite the G-force. "Thanks, Joshua," Sarah said gently. "My pleasure. Now, damage assessments, please. Dibby, can we jump?" "I'll need time to run more diagnostics, but even if we can jump, it isn't going to be far. Those 3 nodes were physically wrecked by the gamma pulses. Our energy patterns will have to be recalculated. Ideally, we need to replace the nodes first." "We're only carrying 2 spares. I'm not made of money. Dad always jumped with nodes damaged, and..." "Don't," Sarah pleaded. "Just for once, Joshua. Let's deal with the present, okay?" "Somebody's jumped out system," Melvin said. "The grav detector satellites registered at least 2 distortions while we were performing our dodo impersonation. I think there may have been a wormhole interstice opened as well. I can't tell for sure. Half of the satellites have dropped out." "There is no jamming from the Voidhawks anymore," Dibby said. "Okay, great. Waller, Sarah, how are our systems coping?"
"Number 2 generator's out," Waller said. "I've shut it down. It took the main strike from the gamma rays. Lucky, really, most of the energy was absorbed by its casing. We'll have to dump it when we dock. It's got a half-life longer than some geological eras now."
"And I'd like you to stop using the number 1 fusion drive tube," Sarah said. "The injection ionizers are damaged. Other than that, nothing serious. We've got some leaks and some component glitches, but none of the life support capsules were breached, and our environmental maintenance equipment is fully functional."
"Got another jumper," Melvin called out. Joshua reduced thrust to 1G, cutting drive tube 1 altogether, then accessed the sensors.
"Jesus, will you look at that?"
Lalonde had acquired its own ring, gloriously radiant stripes of fusion fire, twining together to form a platinum amulet of immense complexity. Over 500 combat wasps were in flight, and thousands of submunitions were convoluted trajectories. Starships initiated high-G evasive maneuvers. Nuclear explosions blossomed. The Lady Macbeth's magnetic and electromagnetic sensors were recording impulses nearly off the scale. It was a radiative inferno.
2 more wormhole interstices opening," Melvin said. "Our Vitae comrades are leaving in drones."
"I think we'll join them," Joshua said.
"Just for once in her life, Sarah might be right," he conceded. It was the now which counted. Lady Mac was already 2,000 kilometers in altitude and rising steeply from the pole. He shifted their inclination again, carrying them further north of the ecliptic and away from the conflict raging above the planet's equatorial zones.
Another 3,000 kilometers and they would be out of the influence of Lalonde's gravity field and free to jump. He made a mental note to travel an additional 500 clicks. No point in stressing the nodes, given their state. About 100 seconds at their current acceleration.